I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into News and Talk 1380 WAOK. You've tuned into Too Much Truth. We're Derek Bozeman, and this is Mary Gill, sitting in for my brother. Yes, Real Estate 101 is being brought to you during Derek Bozeman's Too Much Truth. He is out, and I'm sitting in. So excited to be here. Humbled and thankful that he has allowed me to sit in his hot seat during his time slot. We appreciate it. So I hope everybody's doing well. It's a little misty but balmy, and we got a nice summer feel going on. So I'm loving that. Thank you, God. Yesterday, I sat in for Rashad, the Realest Man in Radio, and that was fun, really a lot of fun. Thank you very much, listening audience and the WAOK listening family, for making me feel really comfortable in that time slot for the hot minute that I was there. I do appreciate that. And as promised, I told you that we had, you know, the guest during that time slot, which was Jason from Fidelity. And he said he'd come back because, quite frankly, we only got to cover just a little bit. So Jason Duff is back with us. He's from Fidelity Bank. He's a mortgage loan originator, and we initially began talking about FHA mortgages, which we'll recap. But today we're going to run the gamut of all the mortgages that are typically available to the general public out there, from just a regular, difficult, challenged credit-type loan all the way to the, you know, I've got an $850,000 and $100,000 in the bank, and I want to buy a $1 million house loan. That's called the jumbo. But we're going to do FHA, conventional, VA, and jumbo. We will hit on some, construction, partial construction. We'll talk about that as well, because we need that, considering the houses that are in the Metro Atlanta area that need to be fixed up if we're not trying to move. We also will have some new stories coming up a little bit later. Talk about an event that I have finally put together at your prompting. Looking forward to that. That's going to be on the 16th. You may have already heard the promo for that, so looking forward to that as well and excited about it. The numbers are coming in. It's like if you build it, they will come. Well, we built this event, and the numbers are coming in and coming in and coming in. So we're thankful for that and looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But yesterday, when we were getting ready to get out of here, we had some callers that we were not able to get to, and Jason is a wealth of knowledge, so I want you to take advantage of this opportunity. If you have any questions at all as it pertains to qualifying for a mortgage, for credit, I mean, bankruptcy, how soon can you buy a house? All of these things are hugely, hugely important, but today you can get all of the answers by tuning in and also by calling in at 404-892-2703. All right, everyone. Jason Duff, thank you, sir, for coming back in.
My pleasure.
Oops.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much. I told you yesterday that time was going to fly. It flew.
It did.
Right?
Very fast.
Well, we have the same 3 hours this afternoon on the drive at home, so people will hopefully be tuning in, and then they'll be calling in and asking you questions as well. You can hit me up on Facebook. I'm getting ready to get into my page on here on the computer in the studio. So if you'd like to ask questions, you can go to Real Estate 101 with Mary Gill and ask a question there as well if you don't want to call in. But we encourage you to call in because this is how we all learn. That's why I usually use myself as examples, because people are, you know, need to, they don't want to put themselves on blast, so I don't mind putting myself, right?
Right, gotcha.
All right, Jason. Mortgages. So I want to give you a little bit of history on my first mortgage, okay?
All right.
And I think this is really what most people experience.
On the first time.
On the first time. I thought no matter where I went, no matter who I talked to, and I also had the misconception that my real estate agent was the person who was going to get me the loan. So I thought all lenders would give me the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, that's a huge misconception.
It is. It is. Yes. The lending is more so based on the borrower versus the loan product. So it's almost like going to buy a car. You don't go to a dealership to buy a car. You go look at the variety of makes and models, and you look at price and gas mileage and performance.
I had no idea.
Yes.
I had no idea. Because I was a single mom with three little girls and I just moved to Georgia, I had challenged credit. I was a single mom. What do you think? Of course I'm going to have challenged credit. I had some lates. I had slow pays on some things. And I was surprised when they said, oh, you can get a mortgage. Right? I mean, you already know that a lot of people are surprised.
Yeah. It's all based on how the risk is assessed. And depending on what year that was,
It was 94. You were probably in grade school, for God's sakes. I don't know where you were, but it was 1994, and I was just thankful that someone gave me a loan. I didn't have a clue as to how to shop for a mortgage. I didn't think that anybody offered anything different. I just thought a loan is a loan is a loan.
Yeah, and you fast forward to 2019. Some people still have that same mindset, but that's why they have us.
Right.
Kind of coach them through it. It is very tangible for everyone to entertain a home purchase.
It really is. And so once I navigated through that and I was on the other side of home ownership, I said, okay, hold on. Now I know if I did this, there's a lot of other people who can do this. So that's when I began going out and trying to help people. And it ultimately came into this type of career. But Jason Duff is in the studio. Fidelity Bank Mortgage. We're here to answer any questions today. As it pertains to real estate, we will talk about some new things that are happening in Atlanta. Talked about it yesterday, and then some events as well. But we're here for you today. We're live in the studio. Give us a call. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Mary Gill sitting in for Derek Bozeman. Back in a minute. We're back, everyone. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. I'm Mary Gill sitting in for Derek Bozeman of Too Much Truth. And joining me today, I have Jason Duff, Fidelity Bank Mortgage. He's a mortgage loan originator, and he's going to put you up on everything that's happening. We have some callers. We're going to take them. How are you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing well. How are you all doing?
Good.
Doing good, Daniel.
Good. I actually just texted Jason. I didn't know y'all were on the air a few minutes ago. But anyway, I had a question. I had heard, I guess the back end of a question of getting a loan in like a rehab. And only have to be in the property for 6 months before you can sell it.
Oh, yeah. You heard that yesterday. Yeah.
Yes. That is a Fannie Mae product. It's a home-ready product. And what it allows you to do is do renovations literally down to the slab of the home. I know one of the more popular renovation products over the past few years has been the FHA 203K loan. This product is very similar, not as stringent. And qualifying is probably right in line with FHA in terms of credit score, loan to value, and things of that nature.
But it's a conventional product.
It is a conventional product, yeah. Yeah. And we do that all the way down to a 620 credit score. And then, like I said, the list of repairs that are allowed, they run the gambit.
As long as you bring it up to the value that they anticipate with the loan-to-value type situation.
Good point. Yeah, so after improved value has to be in line with the neighborhood. So we don't want to put marble floors and gold fixtures in a home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where the neighborhood doesn't, the value won't necessarily support that. But there are a lot of renovations, new roof, HVAC.
Hardwood floors.
You can add a room, add a bathroom, structural repairs, which the 203K doesn't allow. So... I'll look for your text, Daniel, and I'll respond as soon as we get off the air, okay?
Okay, yeah, because I'm thinking that might be a route I may need to go because I'm actually looking. Me and my wife are going to look to do something soon. So, and we don't have a mortgage now. We just got out of one a little while ago, about a year or so ago. So we're looking to do something different.
Good. Yeah, and this is out of the box, and this is saving a lot of people a lot of money because obviously the cost of new construction homes was kind of increased over the years, and this is a way to kind of get those new amenities without having to break the budget.
Okay, yeah, we just went through that. So, yeah. All right, well, thank you. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Daniel.
You're welcome, Chief. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, Spencer.
Hello, Mary.
How are you? I haven't talked to you in a month of Sundays. Where have you been?
It has been a while, Mary. I would just want to tell you that the problem I had mentioned to you about our street lighting over here has been rectified.
Oh, so you saw me out there the other night putting them up, right? That was me waving to you.
You had the capacity and equipment to do it. I think you would do it. You that kind of person. But I found your show. I like to say also that through the help of my councilwoman here in my district, 3rd District, Miss Winslow. Mm-hmm. But part of the problem was I was reporting that the lights were out, but I finally discovered, Mary, that they weren't out. It was like having a flashlight, you know, with a dull, with a weak battery in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's on, but it doesn't give you any light.
Yeah.
But they came out, and when I finally relayed to them what the real problem was, I think they even changed the whole fixture.
Oh, good, Spencer. That's good.
Yes. But Mary, being a minimalist, I found your show the other day about tiny houses fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, good. I'm glad, because guess what? The city of Atlanta has just approved zoning to allow tiny houses up to 750 square feet on the back of almost everybody's lot.
See, as a young man, that would have been ideal for me, because I built a room on the back of my parents' house, but I have had the ability and skills enough to build a whole nother house out there in the back. But back then, it wasn't allowed. But I did get a permit for, I told the people at the permit office there's going to be a garage. And I submitted the drawings and
Spencer, hold on. I'm sorry. She's going to kill me if I don't go to a break right now. I got Lacey here, and she's taking me to a break. But hold on. Don't hang up. I want to hear
it. I will, Mary.
I remember you told me this story, so I want to hear it again. Hold on. All right, everybody. Mary Gill, News and Talk 1380 WAOK, sitting in for Derek Bozeman of Too Much Truth. Back in a minute.
News, sports, weather, and traffic. We're live from the WAOK newsroom on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Too Much Truth.
Into your show, but I wouldn't know half of the knowledge that you've been giving out in your show before. And I just want to take my hat off, man. You had me laughing a while ago. It's just been a blessing listening to you.
It's Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
We're back. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. I'm Mary Gill, sitting in for Derek Bozeman, Too Much Truth. Joining me in the studio is Jason Duff of Fidelity Bank Mortgage. Sorry about that. I'm really trying to get my grape soda in so that I can get my head together.
We're good. We're
it
good.
It doesn't take a lot, but grape soda will do it. Okay, before the break, we were talking to Spencer. And Spencer, you were telling us about how you went to the city and got a permit to build.
Yes, the only problem with that, if you start putting in plumbing and toilet fixtures and all that sort of thing, that would get it out of the category of being just like a garage. So we didn't have the leeway that this new law has provided. And I just wish I could still get back into the building industry, and because I can see where that would be a boom for.
Right. You are exactly right.
So I'm glad you brought that information, and I hope some of these carpenters and small construction companies will take advantage of this and let people give their children and kin a place to stay out back.
Right. Correct. Yes. Thank you, Spencer.
Good point.
Good point. Thank you. Well, nice talking to you. Call me on my show
nice
sometimes.
Talking to you, Mary. And by the way, it's been said that we drink more grape soda than any other group in And that when I say we, I'm talking about us black Americans.
And pineapple.
So we consume more grape soda than anybody else. So but it is good, isn't it, Mary?
It's really good. It reminds me of knee-high grape when we were little coming up. But did
oh,
you know?
Yeah, yes, yes.
So concessions, let me tell you a little story, Spencer. Concession sales were down when Magic Johnson opened his theaters here.
Really?
And so he switched out because, I mean, I'm sorry, no offense, but I'm not trying to drink Coke and Sprite. You know what I'm saying? When I have a choice, a pineapple or grape. Okay?
Yeah.
So he changed it out and put in all the flavors, which we love, and then boom, they went up. So, of course, we love those flavors.
A little history.
One thing, the cost of some of these houses that are built by manufacturers, I found that a little high. But being a person who could build one himself, I guess I would consider that high. Well, you know, if all I have to do is buy the materials. But you mentioned from $50,000 to $70,000?
For a little tiny house, they're called. Like, you know, well, you heard my show. Up to 750 square feet. So, yeah, that's
now,
a bunch
you
of
know what size dwelling I live in. How many square feet is this? I don't know. But I know you being an expert, you can, you know where it is and what size these.
I know, Spencer, but I think your apartment is bigger than 750 square feet. I think it is.
Well, you know what? Actually, Mary, I think sometimes I have too much space.
You got quite a bit of space. He's got a little African American museum going on in his house.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the museum, but the area that I live in most, which is my bedroom, that, you know, accommodates me very well. I don't too much frequent my museum.
No. Well, oh, really? Well, see.
No, spend most of my time right here in my rocking chair in the bedroom.
Yeah. Well, see, one afternoon I brought Spencer dinner. I didn't go down that hall, so I don't know about your bedrooms, Spencer.
Right.
We stayed in the living room area, but
hardly a hall that leads to the bedroom. It's just a little offset.
I didn't even look in that direction, so I don't know. But I appreciated, you know, coming and seeing all of your artifacts and the history behind a lot of your things. It was very, very insightful. I appreciate that.
Well, I enjoy your shows as always, Mary, and
that's right.
Thank you, Spencer.
Okay, you have a good day. And to your guests, give some suggestions about financing these things. I like to hear that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Spencer. All right, bye-bye. And so that was really the point of me trying to break this story to everybody, is because when I was online looking, I found two builders that were in with the city of Atlanta in order to help this zoning situation along.
Okay.
And they know it inside and out, okay?
Are they local?
They're very local, and they're here. And so I'm digging, trying to find, God, please help me, some black builders that know about this as well. Couldn't find any.
Won't be long.
Let's hope so,
yeah.
Right? Let's hope so, because that's why I want everybody to know this, so that you builders out there can get in with this and start building these little tiny houses for us in our neighborhoods that are changing, and now we have an opportunity to have Airbnb guest houses and things, and accommodate our elderly in these little guest houses, so we don't have to try to find accommodations for them elsewhere. Do you know there's a place in Cobb I called for elderly people to live there, and they provide one meal a day. Senior living, one meal a day, and they have other little amenities on this little campus or whatever. Do you know how much that costs a month? You could have knocked me down with it. Costs $4,000 a month for them to live there.
That's sad. That's sad.
Could we ever afford that for our parents?
1 month.
Right. So
packing up.
I'm saying, how much more so would it be better if we just put a little tiny house in the back of our house, and then we have access to our parents? They have privacy. They have, you know, respect, and they're living on their own, but you still can go
close
bring.
Close proximity. Yeah.
They can cook dinner if them. They want. Right. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, cool. We got a number of callers. Let's get to them.
Okay.
Okay, who's called? Miss Johnson. Miss Johnson, how are you?
Good evening. How are you?
Good.
Hey there, Miss Johnson.
Yes, good. Thank you for being there. I came in on the very tail end of you explaining that loan to that young man just before the young man just went off.
Okay.
I hate for you to repeat, but can you kind of go over that again? You
it's
said
fine.
It was better than the 203 something?
Right.
Yes, yes. So that's a Fannie Mae home style renovation loan.
I'm writing this down. Okay, Fannie Mae.
Okay, and don't put yourself in any predicaments. I can have this information emailed to you, or we can speak after the show.
Okay.
But I'll share with you, it is a conventional renovation product. It does allow for pretty much a complete renovation down to the foundation of the home. That is the one caveat. You cannot alter the foundation of a home. You may be able to extend it, but you can't break up the home to the foundation and build a new home.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
What if it was a two-family home at one time, meaning, I guess the elderly lady lived on one side and the young people came in and lived on the other side? In other words, there's two kitchens.
So can a duplex.
Can I take one of those things away?
I think what you're looking at is the ownership of it. Is there one owner to the duplex?
It's my house, honey.
Okay, it's your home. I'm sorry. Okay.
We're living by my dad. I'm living by my dad.
Okay, so keep in mind, obviously with the duplex, and you know this, you have two of everything. You got two water meters, probably two connections to the street for your electricity.
I think they did, yes.
Yeah, so that would probably be the only quirky part to it, but there's nothing in terms of this loan product that would stop you from tearing down a wall and making it one unit. But I can't help you at this point. I'd have to do a little research to see how with the public utilities.
I'll listen for your number and get as you go.
Please. I'd love to
hear
more.
If you're writing it down, you can write it down now.
Okay,
All right.
Name?
My name is Jason Duff, D-U-F as in Frank, F as in Frank. And my business number is 678-360-1969.
678-360-1979. 1969. Well, I'm saying 1969. I got that. Thank you. Thank you very much,
Ms. Johnson.
Look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day. All right, everybody. 404-892-2703. Any questions or comments as it pertains to real estate or financing? Mr. Jason Duff is in the studio, and this is Mary Gill sitting in for Derek Bozeman of Too Much Truth. Back in a minute.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
We're back. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Mary Gill sitting in for Derek Bozeman of Too Much Truth. I have in the studio with me Jason Duff has come back for a second time to continue the conversation as it pertains to financing. We started it yesterday, but we're going to recap the FHA. We're going to go into the conventional products, which there's a number of them, and people need to understand that I didn't know that. I thought a loan was a loan was a loan. Quite frankly, I could tell you the story, Jason, but my listening audience, they do know where I came from. So the fact that I just got one, I was thankful because I came from real humble beginnings. And I was ignorant of the process. So anyway, after that, I made myself learn the process so that I could help other people do it.
That's right.
Okay. Sherry, how are you?
Yes, hi. How you guys doing this afternoon?
Good,
Sherry.
Okay. Well, this might sound silly, but I always been interested in purchasing a home. Mm-hmm. And I used to be a little kind of scary, especially when the market fell a couple years back.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'll be a first-time buyer.
Okay.
And the thing, I do have a family, and I don't, you know, with the areas around Fulton County, I guess it depends. The taxes are a little higher or less, I think.
Yes, they do vary.
And I know City of Atlanta, where I live, is higher. And the cab, I think, is about the same, like Fulton County or Atlanta. So I was calling to see, with me being a first-time buyer, what are some programs that you all can recommend for me to kind of be involved or take?
I definitely encourage you. The first step, if you're looking to acquire some type of down payment assistance or closing cost assistance, I would just, Sherry, I'd be honest with you. I'd tell you just to start with the home buyer's education class, whether you have a time timeline in place or not, because that's there's so much information that you get, and it's really a wealth of information in terms of what you can learn by sitting in on a class where they're talking about, you know, closing costs, down payment assistance. And actually, I was just reminded that on the 16th of this month, which is next Saturday, Mary and I will be putting together the event is already together. We just got to get you up to Smyrna and get you in attendance. And we do want you to bring your family as well.
Yes. Yes. And another thing too, now I know it involved, like if I wanted to get a house that has been, what's the word I want to say? Not repossessed, but what's the word?
Foreclosure.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if I like a house and it's nice or whatever, and the inside, like the plumbing or some things that I see just not, fitting, am I responsible if I buy the house to have that repaired, or is it the owner will have to do that or the bank?
Well, typically with foreclosures, they're on the market and they're priced to sell, meaning they're being sold as is.
Okay.
Now, the caveat is once you acquire a loan or get pre-qualified for a loan, that home has to be deemed inhabitable. So once the appraiser goes out to the home to assess the value, they're going to kind of do like a quasi kind of a home inspection. So they are going to turn the spigots, flip the light switches, flush the toilets. That stuff has to be in working order, or it's going to put a halt to your loan progress.
Okay. So as a home-time home buyer, am I responsible to pay for the appraiser too? Or how does that work?
Yes, there'll be what we call borrower responsible costs, and typically that appraisal is part of that cost. So you'll receive a copy of your appraisal. There'll be some pictures in there. It'll tell you what the homes are selling for on that street, or at least within that area.
Okay.
And it's just kind of like a data sheet, if you will, of all the particulars pertaining to your home. And it also tells you, again, what your home is worth on the current market.
Okay. And I think that's the only question. NACA, could you tell me a little bit about that? Someone would tell me. Told me about a program called NACA.
Yes.
Is it? Is that what type of program? Is that for first time buyers too, or?
Absolutely, Mary. Do you have anything on NACA? You want to share your experience?
I don't want to share anything on NACA. I'm just saying, I don't have warm fuzzies about NACA. I don't care if anybody out there. So I did have my grape soda. So I'm just going to tell everybody right now that I don't care who doesn't like it. I don't have any public opinion that I want to share on the radio that is favorable about NACA. So I have not heard any good stories about it. I can say that truthfully. I have been in and out of legal with the radio station a number of times. And legal, the attorneys have told me this, for all of you listening out there, ready to come at me, that may have something to do with NACA.
Okay.
They said, if you're telling the truth, you have nothing to worry about. So I'm telling you the truth, that I have heard nothing good, anybody coming to me about NACA.
Okay.
Come to the seminar.
Okay.
Please.
Now, are you going to mention it on your show Sunday so I can kind of get this? Yeah, I mean, Saturday.
I am. Sure. Yes,
please,
I am.
So I can write it down so I can come.
I am, and I will, and I hope to see you there. And then we'll talk about everything when you get there. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Sherry, thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know, people have just come to me after the NACA.
Ooh, yeah, there's some horror stories.
You've heard, you know that too then?
Personally, I
okay,
do.
Good. Right, yeah. Thank you.
Say no more.
Thank you, that's all I have to say. let's talk to Barbara. How are you doing, Barbara? Thanks for holding.
I'm good. I appreciate what I just heard. You're so honest. I want to talk to you or ask if you would refer me to someone. I talked to you briefly before. I have a property that was a rental in the East Point area, and it's vacant, continue to be vacant now for going on 4 months. But the amount I should have kept in the my account has zeroed out, and they have sent it to an attorney for an amount that I definitely cannot afford now. It's $5,000. Is there someone I can talk to represent me or better understand or make arrangements? Because I did sign the contract, so I need that information if possible.
I'm going to put you on hold because we got to go to a break, and then I will take your information. I'll have Lacey take your information, and then I'll call you off the air, and then we'll talk about the best route for you, okay?
Oh, okay.
Is that good? All right, we'll do that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank you. Hold on a sec. All right, 404-892-2703. We are here until 7 o'clock. So if you have any questions, please give us a call. Mary Gill in for Derek Bozeman. Too Much Truth. Back in a minute.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
We're back, everyone. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Mary Gill sitting in for Derek Bozeman. Too Much Truth. Jason Duff, Fidelity Bank Mortgage. In the studio, we have callers. Hold it. We're going to get to you all. Who's holding the most? Hold on a second. Oops. There we go. Tasha, how are you? Thanks for your patience. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. How are you, Mary?
Hello, Mr. Duff.
Hey, Tasha.
Great. My question is a little complex, but my ultimate question is whether or not I'm in a position to do a cash-out refi. Mm-hmm. I have an FHA loan. Maybe a year back when we had the storms down here in Georgia, my mortgage company worked with me because I needed repairs on my home. So they delayed a 3-month period for me to make a payment.
Okay.
And then I went into, it wasn't a full modification. How they explained it to me was FHA would take those 3 payments and put them at the back of my loan for mm-hmm. no interest. And then I would have like a 3-month trial period where I paid, it was the same amount of my original mortgage, but that was for July, August, and September. But then my mortgage company actually sold my loan to a new mortgager.
Okay.
So with that, with the paperwork, they still have not allowed me to make any more payments. So on my credit report is yielding like no payment at all, but it's not saying that I'm late either. And right now my mortgage is 106 and, the market value around the area is about 170.
Gotcha. So, let me ask you, Tasha, how long ago, did this all transpire in terms of the deferred payments?
July of 18.
Okay. So we're not quite a year yet in terms of...
No, no.
All right. And then the mortgage servicer at the time, or even the new mortgage servicer, have they marked you late or have they deemed you late at all, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days?
The old mortgager did, and I disputed it, and I said that I was under a modification. And so when I did that, they said that they had taken it off. But then just recently, I received notification on my credit that particular mortgager, my original one, reported me again as being over 120 days late.
Wow. Wow. And now in terms of, you know, this is February. So have you made your February payment? Have you been making your regular payments?
No, they're not allowing me to because the new mortgager is saying that I'm not technically in their system to make payments because it's under modification. So they're not even accepting my payment.
Okay. I'll share this with you. It would probably be best, you know, in your interest to resolve this first, because
mm-hmm.
this could be big. And obviously, with recent lates, that's going to come up. Usually a 1x30 can be explained. But if you're saying they have you marked down for 120 day late, that's obviously beyond 90 days. And that's pretty, that's critical. So mm-hmm. hold on to your paperwork, hold on to your promissory notes. Once they wrap those payments onto the back of that loan, they had to have mm-hmm. done a new promissory note. So you got to hold on to that paperwork, and disputing it is the first step.
Okay. Okay. Awesome.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Wow. That just drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's a huge technicality.
It drives me crazy because you're like stuck in a chasm because these people messed up and they're still messing up. Now you have a new servicer, which quite frankly, I even question the ability to have it transferred to a new servicer
when it's on a modification. Right.
So you might want to talk about that, Tasha, whether or not you could have even been transferred under the modification and then get the modification straight. And then refi. But, I mean, hopefully you can get it done really quick, like into the summertime, because, you know, the powers that be are projecting when we go into the fall and winter that there's going to be an adjustment of value in the market, and that means values are going to come down, and then everybody's equity is going to go away. And so, you know, I sound like the town crier when I say now's the time to sell or now this is the time to refi, but when your values are so high, if they adjust – that's not a number on a paper. That's real money.
It sure is.
My house, only thanks be to God, is closing on Friday. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't think my house was going to get higher than it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, you said it yesterday, I'm not a gambler. I don't like to take risks. When you buy low, you sell high.
That's
when
right, at the top of the bubble.
At the top of the market. And that's what I'm going to try to do, get out. Fortunately, my granddaughter, who's 11, she blessed this situation. Otherwise, we'd still be in that house. But I'm moving on.
That's right.
You take your little money out and you move on, right?
Move into another investment.
Right. All right. Charles, how are you?
Blessing to y'all. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles.
You took my train of thought when you said, hurry up and get out. What I would like to do is I'm down substantially on my mortgage, but what I would like to do is keep it, rent it out, and get into another home. And I was speaking to a gentleman at work, and he was saying the way to pay the, because I owe under 70,000. He was saying the way to do it, the way he did it, and I'm just asking for you guys' advice.
Okay.
I spoke with my insurance company already. If I was to take my insurance away from the it was on my head before I said it. You know how you pay it into your mortgage?
And you're out of your escrow.
If right. I take it away, I can afford my insurance every year.
Okay.
And another way that my insurance company was explaining it to me, I can pay it quarterly, which would make it a lot cheaper if I pay it every 3 months, or I can pay it yearly. I have that choice. But would that make any difference if I was to do it that way and continue paying the same amount I'm paying? Would that, like, pay my house off quicker to where I can – moving to another house, had his house paid off. And,
Charles, no. Let me ask you this question. How long have you been paying on your house, and how many years do you have left? That's what I want to ask you.
I've been paying on it for I've been paying on it for 16, but I pay more than,
okay.
I pay more than I supposed to pay. So
you're down.
No, I don't have that much more. Yeah, right. I don't have that.
All right.
That much more. Old on it.
So here's the thing. Let me tell you this. So you have your taxes and your insurance escrowed into your payment, right? They're in your payment, and the mortgage company pays your taxes and insurance for you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So your question is whether or not you should stop that, because you currently have enough equity and to tell them to stop paying it for you, and you'll pay it for yourself. Is that right?
Yes, I make enough to pay it myself.
All
yes.
right. So I've got to go to a break, but I'm going to tell you the question you need to ask yourself in order to come up with your own answer, okay? Because I don't know your situation, and this is something you need to ask yourself. So hold on a second, and we'll come back to you, and then we'll come to some answers for you, all right?
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure thing. Hold on a second. 404-892-2703. Real Estate 101, sitting in the seat of Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman. Back in a minute. Welcome back, everyone. News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. I'm Mary Gill, sitting in for Derek Bozeman of Too Much Truth. And in the studio with me today is Jason Duff of Fidelity Bank Mortgage. Before the break, we're talking to Charles. And Charles is in a dilemma as to whether or not to take his escrow off and pay it himself, or to allow the mortgage company to continue to pay it for you and it be in your payment. Is that right, Charles?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So here's the thing. This is what you need to ask yourself. Does it make any difference to you? And here's the reason. Because it's six in one hand, half a dozen in the next. It doesn't matter if you pay it or if the mortgage company pays it. The truth is, I would always want the mortgage company to pay it because, quite frankly, that's two less bills that I have to worry about. And if you get up at the end of the year and you find you're in a little bit of a tight money crunch, well, now you're trying to scramble to get together your taxes to pay your taxes or your insurance to pay your insurance. Whereas if it's escrowed, a little bit is taken in your payment every month, then at the end of the time when it becomes due and the mortgage company just pays it, it's one less thing that I have to worry about. It doesn't matter if they pay it or if you pay it. It's all the same money. It's all your money.
Oh, okay. All right.
You follow me?
Yes, ma'am.
But you know what? I do have to commend you. You're doing really, really well on paying down that mortgage.
Yeah, man. Get that house
free. I love that. I love it.
The amount of money that I have in it, I can't think of the word. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. The equity that I have. So would it be a good time if I wanted to try to figure out a way to make this a rental property and move into another property?
So listen, so you know that because you have so much equity in your property, I imagine you do since you've paid it down, you would have to really navigate that a little carefully because you want to use your money. You don't want your money to get lost. And if the market decreases, that means your equity decreases. So if I were you and I wanted to use that property as an investment property, I would take my money out. You know what I mean? I would take my money out.
Yes, there's a lot of vehicles to tap into that equity and just hold on to it. Just, you know, depends on what fits your budget. You can do a cash out refi.
I'd take my money out and then I would go ahead and rent that bad boy and then let somebody else pay that mortgage and pay that note and I'd have my cash in the bank.
There you go.
Because if the market crashes, I don't want them to take my money.
Good point.
Okay. Yeah, because I've been getting a lot of them, you know, from the bank that I'm with. I've been with them over 20 years and that they've been sending me a lot of letters on that and the mortgage company as well, saying that, you know, that's basically the route to go. I just haven't done it. But
Charles, listen,
yes, ma'am.
You're welcome to come and talk to me in my office, and that's not going to cost you a dime. I'll take an hour or two to sit with you and talk to you about the route that you need to go, even if it entails an equity line, if it entails a refi, whatever it is, you have to make a good decision moving forward so that you don't lose money if the market crashes, because that's the best way to put this new adjustment that they're talking about. But, you know, you don't want to lose that. But by the same token, you have to ask yourself some tough questions. Do I really want to be a landlord? Do I really want an investment mm-hmm. property? Do I want to sell this property and get all my money out, put some money down on a different house if I want to move, and still keep my cash in the bank and then live in another house? So there's a bunch of options that you have at this point. You just need to make sure that they're safe decisions and that they benefit you financially.
That's right.
And what's your number? I would love to come and sit down because I have a lot of questions that I can't ask over there.
Yeah, sure thing. So my number is 770-480-8222. Yeah, so call me, Charles. I will remember you and come and just make an appointment. Come and we'll talk about it for a little while. All right?
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for calling, Charles. And I appreciate you listening. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay, Ron has been holding for a while. Thank you, Ron, for holding. We appreciate your patience. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine, Mary. How you doing? And to the gentleman there, how you doing, sir?
Doing well, Ron. Thank you.
Hey, you kind of touched on what I want to ask you about, and I wrote your number down also. I'm going to come and see you. But I'm The question I have, Mary, is regarding refinancing. I closed on my home in April of last year, new construction in South Fulton. And I don't necessarily want to cash out because I know that my equity is not that much right now, but I want to refinance to balance what I have and, you know, try to get a lower payment. Then what I can take that extra cash and put it toward the principal and, you know, pay my mortgage down. So what is the market looking like right now in regard to refinancing? I got a VA loan, by the way.
All right. Ron, I'm going to answer that question before you to the best of my ability. You said you in a new construction property in South Fulton, VA loan. So you did 100% financing when you purchased?
Yes.
All right. And do you have a general idea what your interest rate was or is currently?
5%.
All right.
How long have you been in there? That's what I want to
ask. I closed April of last year.
Oh, April of last year.
So you're just shy of a year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And are they still building in your community?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
So I got on the first phase.
Okay. So what phase are they on now, just out of curiosity?
I'm not really sure. They're still building. Okay. My street is completely occupied.
All right. So chances are the builder that's building in your community since last April's had a couple of price increases.
Yes.
If I had to guess, I would just say over the past 9-10 months, they're up at least $10,000 from what you paid.
I think so. I know at the time that I had closed, and a few weeks after that, they had a price increase.
Okay. So on a rate.
When I locked my rate in and my price, they afterwards had some increases.
Okay. Yeah. And that's pretty customary for new construction. To have those price increases. So you would have some equity there based on what the current market is probably yielding for the same house that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
On a VA rate and term refinance, you can do up to 100% loan to value. So you have some equity there. There'll be costs associated with that. It's nominal. It's what you'd be looking at doing is what they call an IRRL, and that's an IRRRL, you know, hence the government. That's an interest rate refinance reduction loan, okay? That's just
right.
A streamlined refinance for a VA loan. No appraisal costs involved. Your appraisal is on file with the VA, with the Veterans Administration. They'll pull your original appraisal. And then, again, it's just a matter of finding a rate that will allow you to save money and then determining if that's worth the, you know, the expense of
if it's
complete.
Worth the expense. That's the primary thing you need to figure out. Is this worth it? Because you've only been in there a year and your interest rate reduction is not going to be so significant that it might benefit you. You're mm-hmm. not going to be able to get any money out.
Yeah, definitely no cash out. It would be a rate and term.
What I did anyway, I didn't want to cash out because I know it's not a loss. I didn't want to, you know, lose that.
It's not going to be that significant. We're looking at
4.5, depending on your credit, Ron. You'd be looking at somewhere in the mid to low fours, but definitely nothing in the threes, you know, on a fixed rate mortgage. And that's what I recommend that you stay with to avoid the volatility associated with adjustable rate mortgages. Yeah, so if I had to guess, Ron, you'd probably be looking at saving anywhere from $75 to about $80. You'd be short just of $100 in this transaction, being that you've only been in the home, you know, 10 months.
Right. So I don't know if it'd be worth it because the cost associated with it, you've got to divide that over so many years to see whether or not you can even recoup it. Anyway, you know, you got to think about that. I've had people driving to the closing and saying, I need to send you these statements and tell me, is it worth it? And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, it's not worth it. And they're like, okay, turn around. Right. Thank you, Mary. I'm like, no, don't do it. But so you have to see whether or not it even be worth it. But, you know, he's the man. You could talk to him about it and see, look at your numbers.
Okay. Won't hurt to do that, would it?
All right.
Not at all.
Okay, cool. So you want his number?
Yes, please.
All right, Ron. My business cell phone number is 678-360-1969.
All right.
Got it. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thanks for your call.
All right, 404-892-2703. Deborah, we see you holding. I'll get back with you shortly when we come back from the break. This is Mary Gill sitting in for Derek Bozeman of Too Much Truth. Back after the break.
Okay. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, everyone. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Mary Gill sitting in for Derek Bozeman, Too Much Truth. And I'm telling you, it's so funny how you hear a song and just everything comes flooding back from, it's like you're back in your past. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I saw a smile on your face.
I'm telling you, it's like you just remember when that came out and who you were and what you were doing. And that's what music is over the years. You know what I mean? It's like there's music came out and you just remember, oh, I was at the, we were at the club, me and my girls at that time, or I was in San Francisco and with my daughter, she was newborn and things. You know, it's really, I just love music. They call that, you know, the soundtrack of your life, because certain songs you can relate to with reference to different times in your life. Anyway.
Correct, yeah.
I just have to tell you, I do remember Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Diana Ross. I remember that. So one of my best girlfriends coming up, I used to hang with, she ended up being part of the Supremes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, after we grew up and we went on our way. Now, this is the funniest thing, and you can Google her. I hate to tell everybody. Her name was Iris Parker.
Okay.
And she was part of a singing group. I forgot the doggone name of it. They were kind of a one-hit wonder. But she initially started her singing career by singing as one of the Supremes with Mary Wilson. And gorgeous, beautiful. This girl was phenomenally intelligent. See, this just goes to show you how people are an enigma, because I wanted to have the depths of this woman's mind. That's how intelligent she was. When we were coming up in high school, she did trigonometry and calculus, and she aced those out, and I was in awe of her as far as her grades were concerned, right? And then she goes on to become a singer. I'm thinking you can work for NASA, and you're a singer. And then she did belly dancing in Egypt, and she went to FIT, the Fashion Institute in New York. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, she could have done, you know, anything. But then now that I'm older, I've changed my thinking, and I'm like, you know what? She lived her truth.
Amen to that. She sounds like a jack of all trades.
She lived her truth, and I'm not mad at that. That's why we kind of really need to not push our children in a certain direction, I think. I think we can navigate them a little bit and help mold them and guide them, but I don't think we should push them in a direction, because they might not ultimately end up living their truth.
That's true.
Right?
Give them the experience to try many things,
mm-hmm.
go many places.
Ooh, well, you know who had to listen to that diatribe is Deborah. Let me get to Deborah. How you doing, Deborah?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. I, too, have a NACA hard story.
Oh.
Short. I just have a question. They end up refinancing my mortgage. They forgave me $30,000-some-odd. But the caveat is, if I ever sell this house, I got to pay that back. Well, the neighborhood has turned over. I'm retired now, and I do want to get out of this property. Is there anything I can do to get out of this property? Short of
paying
reverse market, reverse mortgage,
no.
Or just leaving the property.
So here's the thing, Deborah. That, you know, as far as I can understand, with the many people who have come to me after NACA, there's many different things that NACA helps, quote unquote, helps people do. So I'm wondering what they helped you out of here, but and how they did it, because this $30,000 that they, quote unquote, forgave, if you have to pay it back, then in my mind it's in the form of a mortgage.
They didn't forgive me.
It's a mortgage.
They didn't forgive me.
It's a second.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be probably a silent second on your home. So
Right. Anybody
that pulls title is going to see what you owe on your first. And then that silent second, I'm sure there's no interest rate associated with it, but that $30,000 is sitting there quietly waiting to be repaid.
Waiting to be repaid. However, one good thing, though, Deborah, is typically with those silent seconds, they're for a specific term.
And sometimes associated with those, and I have no idea what type this is, but I mean, I've done silent seconds for people when they've gotten grants and things like that. They've been silent seconds, and they're only for, some are for 3 years, some are for 5 years. The thing that you need to know is, what is the term of your silent second?
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay, once you find that out, just pull out the paperwork. If you don't have the paperwork, then there's another way to get it. We can do a title search or whatever and find out what the term of that second mortgage is, or your silent second. And then you can, once you know that, then you can better figure out a way to navigate it and get out of it.
Got you. Okay. So you wouldn't suggest a reverse mortgage?
Oh, no. Never. Oh, no. I never suggest.
I don't have any kids. I don't have any kids. I don't have any siblings. So, you know, if when I transition over, the property would go back to the city anyway.
So, okay. Well, I hear that. But here's the thing, Deborah, with a reverse mortgage, they are so tricky that you are taking, of course, your equity out, but you're borrowing it kind of from yourself. And associated with that are fees and interest rate and things. Every single time part of that money comes to you, whether it's monthly or in a lump sum or quarterly or however you take it, there are certain fees and interest rates associated with it that go to the lender. So they're actually taking part of your money each time. And if you get to the end of it, well, now you're going to be like a deer caught in headlights, because now what are you going to do? You got to sell your house in order to pay that money back, or it goes into foreclosure. Just like you said, it goes to the city. But you're going to have a place to live if you come to the end of your reverse mortgage and you don't have any money left in it. You see what I'm saying?
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reverse mortgages, they are backed by the government, but you have to be very careful. I heard what you said about not having any children or anyone to will the house to, or, you know, that the house will go to in the time of your passing. But even still, you just want to make sure that if you have to entertain that option, that you totally understand what you're getting into.
Yeah, and you know, there's other options, Deborah. So if you want to talk about them, I'm happy to talk with you about them.
Okay. Right. I have your number, or I may even come to the seminar.
Oh, yeah,
on the
beautiful.
16th.
That would be great. Okay. We appreciate
it. Okay.
Thank you
so much.
Bye-bye.
404-892-2703. We're here till 7 o'clock. We're going to talk about some loan products. When we come back from the break, Mary Gill in for Derek Bozeman. Too Much Truth. Back in a minute. Oh, all right. We're back. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Mary Gill in for Derek Bozeman. Too Much Truth. So, on February 16th, you may have heard us make reference to it, we are having a seminar. You asked for it. We did it. It's been 2 years. I know, 2 years, 2 years, too long. But we put it together. It's going to be at Griffin Middle School at 2 o'clock on Saturday, the 16th. I won't have a show because I'll be playing some game. But fortunately, we can all go there and learn about real estate. It'll be from 2 to probably about 5 or 6 whenever we wrap up. I encourage you to please, please, please bring your young people. I have learned from when I go and speak in schools, and when I do the seminars in schools, the career days, they learn. They want to know. They sit there, and they really do retain this information. So it's important at least to have your young people's warm bodies sitting in the seat, and they will go away with something. I promise you, when they get older, they're going to remember these things, and I will have certain and specific things that I've already come up with to make it interesting and fun for the kids.
Good.
And yet not deviate away from the important matters for the adults. I've got a few things that I'm going to interject for the young people in there. So I'm excited about that. And I said it before, but I kind of mean it. You already know where my mind's going. And now I just need to have my body lead me down towards the coast. But this might be my last one. Anyway, so go to Real Estate 101 with Mary Gill. Click on the link on the Eventbrite and please register. We need to know how many people. I have a listener who is so great, is so phenomenal. They're going to be providing snacks for the seminar.
That's very thoughtful.
Isn't that excellent?
Yeah, that's great.
So sweet. So we kind of want to get a number. But anyway, we appreciate that. Go to Real Estate 101 with Mary Gill. Register on Eventbrite, or you can go to eventbrite.com, WAOK.com, and register, please, for the seminar. Excited, excited, excited. All right, Jason, we have a caller. We're going to talk to her. Cece, okay. How are you doing?
Mary, thank you for taking my call. I listen to your show on Saturday when I'm in my car driving. And thank you, the Fidelity representative, for being there. I have a quick question.
Sure.
I live in Clayton County, and there is a house that sits behind me, separated by a fence, our fence that we put up across the back of the property. The house has been boarded up for about 9 years. And we want to buy that house as and maybe refurbish it for a rental property or something like that. I've checked the tax rolls. The taxes are being paid on the property annually. But how would we locate the owners? Because what's listed on the tax rolls is like some sort of foreign corporation.
Well, the foreign corporation is the owner then. And
Okay. You're
going to have to write to them.
Mm-hmm.
And try to appeal to them and say that you know, I'm looking for the owner of this house. You might want to start out by saying, there's some issues with the house. I live next door, and I just want to help you out with it. That'll get their attention.
Okay, if
you want to help them. And then once you actually get a person, then I would say, hey, yeah, we're willing to help you out, but we're really thinking we'd like to buy it. What do you think about that, since it's been vacant and sitting there for 9 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and then just go from there?
Go from there. But so Jason has an idea as well.
Yeah, Cece, let me ask you. So when you go onto Clayton County Tax Assessor's website, you enter the street address, and it pulls up that foreign entity, does it have an address for them or a P.O. box, anything like that?
It has a P.O. box. It is listed in the United States, but it's a different state. And so it does show that. But that's all the information. There's no individual's name. It's just the name of that entity. That's all.
Gotcha. Yeah, you'd have to really, put your investigative skills to work. I think that you may have some success. I've heard of the term skip tracing, and I only know that because I have a associate who is an investor. And even myself, I've been approached by investors on the rental properties that I own. And the first question I always have is, how did you get my phone number? So that information is out there. It's out there somewhere in public records. If not, on the internet, probably, again, in public records. But if you truly want to find who that seller is, they may be willing to work with you.
Okay.
And if
that
it's
sounds good.
If it's another state, like if it was in Georgia, you could go to the Georgia Secretary of State website, put in the corporation, and then you would find the people that are actually listed as the owners. Their names will be there for that corporation. Or if it's another state, you go to that state, you put in that state name, put Secretary of State, and they will let you search corporations as well. And then the principals of whomever that corporation are, they will come up, and you might be able to actually Google these names and then try to get to them that way.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay.
All
because
right.
We really, okay, thank you. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, let me know how that goes.
Okay, I will, Mary.
All right, thanks,
thank
Cece.
You so much.
You're
okay.
Okay, we got a caller holding, and my sweetness had to run out, so let me grab it. Hey, good afternoon. This is Mary. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Mary. This is Cheryl in Atlanta. How are you today?
Good, Cheryl. What's going on?
Good. I am only now able to tune into your show, so I missed a whole lot of everything. But I had something I was wanting to ask you if you've got time. I've been hearing on another radio station for sure, but I think there's another one. This one realtor who's buying up everybody's houses so that they don't have to show them and all this stuff. I don't know if I could say the name or not.
Yeah, we know who it is. You don't have to.
Okay, well, on this other station, he's talking about wanting to buy up 100 houses in South DeKalb, South Fulton, and some other county. I forget now if it's Rockdale or one of the others. And I wondered, there's got to be a reason behind it, like maybe something's coming down the pike. And I just wonder, have you had have you heard anything about what's going on?
So,
for somebody to want to buy that many houses, he's trying to get them to sell to somebody else, I'm sure.
So, Shell, let me tell you a couple of things that I feel, because I've been doing this for 18 years. But let me tell you, and please, Jason, feel free to chime in here, okay, with reference to this.
And hi, Jason, I'm sorry.
Hey, you're fine.
So here's the thing. You know what the slowest appreciating zip code is in Fulton County? Do you know what that is, Jason?
In Fulton County, if I had to guess, 30349?
Yes.
All right.
Southwest Atlanta, 30349. There is a reason behind that. The reason behind that is that the powers that be, all of the financial gurus, and they've done it previously in the other areas until recently when gentrification took hold, and that is they are trying to keep those prices depressed. Mm. And you want to know why? Because that's a very valuable area.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Yeah, College Park. Yeah.
I mean, you drive in Southwest Atlanta, it feels good. You know what I mean? It just feels great. It has easy access to the airport. You go straight up to, you know, up Camp Creek. You hit Douglas, Cobb, Paulding. You could go anywhere.
In 15 minutes
right.
or less.
Mm-hmm. And you get on 20, 285 right there. It's very valuable. So they're trying to keep those values depressed so that people will want to sell them because, you know, it's pretty much an elderly and older population. Mm-hmm. They're going to sell their properties to these people who say, oh, you don't have to show your house. Oh, we'll buy your house for you. We're going to help you out of your house. And what they're doing is they're helping you out of your equity.
And I'm guessing they want to maybe buy it for like $20,000, $30,000. And it could be worth $100,000-something.
And then what are they going to do? So here's the end game, Shell. And they're already doing it. Then they're going to rent them back to you. Rent them back to us. Wow. Buy them from us, then rent them back to us.
Oh, I thought they were going to try to gentrify that. I live over in the Lithonia DeKalb area, but I just was curious when I started hearing that on the black radio station that they want to see us a target, too. So I don't remember if I've heard it on V103.
Yeah.
But it's another black station. And then on the other white station that's real conservative, he does the advertisement with Sean Hannity. So I don't trust the man from the get-go because of that. Not meaning to get political, but I have to.
Yeah, I hear you. Thank you, Shell.
But yeah, so I didn't realize, though, that he was doing it so that he could rent a bike, probably for a higher price.
Oh, yeah. That, yeah, exactly right.
Oh, and I'm going to tell you my name is Cheryl. I may have.
Oh, I'm sorry, Shell. Thank you.
No, it's okay. But thank you so much. I really miss you on Saturdays.
I know. Well, I'm going to be back this Saturday.
If they preempt you and the Mathis sisters during baseball season, I'm going to have to write a letter.
Thanks. I appreciate that. But I will be back this Saturday in the studio. Thank you, Cheryl.
I'm so glad. Cheryl. Thank you very much. I appreciate you both.
Thank you.
Take care. God bless.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
404-892-2703. When we come back, we're going to talk about conventional products with Jason Duff of Fidelity Bank Mortgage. Mary Gill in for Too Much Truth. Derek Bozeman back in a minute. We're back, everyone. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Mary Gill sitting in for Derek Bozeman of Too Much Truth. In the studio, Jason Duff was so gracious to come back for day two.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
And we're talking about financing. First, we're going to talk to Stacy, though. How are you doing today?
Hi. How are you, Ms. Gill? Can you hear me?
Sure can.
I'm calling. So my question, my name is Stacy, and I listen every day to Derek Bozeman. My question is, so I am considering purchasing a home, too. I'm going through the NACA program, and I know how you feel. I heard your comments earlier about the NACA program. In defense of them, I had some issues. I've been going through the process with NACA for like 2 years now. But I had things on my credit that I needed to pay and take care of. And so I'm now at a point where I can purchase. However, I also understand that there's stipulations with purchasing and using NACA's financing to help you purchase. Basically, if you wanted to sell or if you wanted to do other things with it, you would have to, like, sell it back to the city and all that kind of stuff. My question is, I would like to go a regular well, I shouldn't say regular, but I'm considering going with like an FHA product, but maybe with a subprime lender, because I don't want to be confined or restricted with the NACA program. And if I do decide to go the subprime lending way, are there any subprime lenders out there who may charge a little bit more but will work with someone whose credit is challenged? And then I'll hang up so I could hear your
Thank
response.
You. Thank you, Stacy. Thank you. So Stacy needs to come to – Stacy, you need to come to the seminar, because a lot of those questions you can actually have a one-on-one with the two lenders that are going to be there, one of which is Jason. However, I have to say, I'm going to say this. NACA can't help you do anything that you can't do yourself. And in reality, you're going to do it yourself anyway. You're just having somebody tell you, hey, this is what you need to do. A lender can tell you that as well. All they have to do is pull your credit and say, X, Y, Z, you need to do these things and get them done, and then you're going to be in a good spot. I don't even think that you really know right now, Stacy, whether or not you're in a position to buy. And well, I mean, with a normal FHA mortgage, because you're looking for subprime right now and you don't even really know if you're in a position just to go the regular route. If what to me, what you're doing, this is only my own personal opinion based upon what you've told me, is it's you're just making it more complicated.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I hate to hear people look for the shortcuts. And not to say that Stacy was taking a shortcut, but if she's been working with NACA for 2 years.
That's a problem.
Yeah. After year one, she should have been in position. And if she's 2+ years, I question the integrity of the advice that she's getting to put her in position. And she's still looking for a subprime mortgage after 2 years.
Yeah, that doesn't, that's not adding up to me, Stacy. Those do not add up to me. So you need to have somebody, this is what I call it, take a forensic look at your situation,
you
which is what Jason needs to do. And I promise you, I would just tell NACA and send some emails and say, don't pull my credit again. Just don't do it. Because sometimes they just pull it like 5-6 times and then they've totally messed you up. So you please talk to Jason. No obligation anywhere. Just talk to Jason. And then he'll be able to tell you whether or not you're on track to go ahead and do it. He has some down payment assistance programs. You don't need that from NACA. Lenders can pay your closing costs, or you can get them enrolled into the deal. You don't need that from NACA. There's just like nothing that you need from NACA. Anybody. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah. After 2 years.
Please, please. Okay, February 16th, Griffin Middle School, 2 o'clock, King Springs Road in Smyrna. Please go to Eventbrite and register. But, Stacy, I would love to see you there, and I would love nothing more than to see you standing over on the side talking to Jason about your situation.
Yeah.
Please,
look forward
please
to seeing
out.
You, Stacy. Please reach out to us. Be happy to help.
Okay, conventional. Conventional is different from FHA because it's private money.
Correct, correct. So we have two entities that pretty much back or secure conventional financing. That's Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Conventional financing, you know, you can obviously purchase a primary residence, but you can also purchase a second home or a second residence in addition to investment properties. So it's kind of a broader spectrum of purchases that you can use conventional financing for, and I touched briefly earlier in the show on the Fannie Mae Homestyle. That is the renovation product that allows you to go in and make renovations to an existing home. And again, these are considered conventional loan products. They have down payments that start as low as 3%, on up as high as 20%, which would put you in a position to where you're not paying mortgage insurance. And that's the highlights of a conventional loan product versus an FHA.
And oddly enough, I had, what are you doing?
No, I'm not taking this.
Okay. I thought Lacey was saying, wait, whoa, hold
you
up.
You look great. Why not?
You're taking a picture. Don't do that.
She didn't catch you with the great
no,
photo in your
no,
hand.
No. Lacey knows already. I called her the other day and I'm like, Lacey, I need you to go on the internet and take all that down.
Oh.
I'm serious. Anyway. Okay. Conventional. sometimes FHA is better than conventional.
True, and vice versa.
Right. It depends on your situation. So let me tell you what ended up happening. You're going to love this because, believe me, I try to slice and dice it any way I can. Had this young man buying a townhome right up there in Northwest Atlanta. Man, we got it just before it skyrocketed in value. So thankful. I love doing this for young people, right? Getting up a good start.
Mm-hmm.
So we were with another lender, and we did conventional, right? So, oh, my gosh, the appraisal came back like $3,000 or $4,000 lower than our purchase price. So we're messed up right now. What are we going to do, right? So I told my finance guy, I said, flip them FHA. So he flipped them to FHA. The appraisal came back great.
Wow.
Within limits. And then the payment was lower.
Mm.
And he's like, oh my gosh, the payment is even lower. So it was better to go ahead and flip it to FHA.
Yeah. One thing I will say, FHA rates typically are lower, but you have that MI on the loan, which is a fixed factor depending on the down payment amount. And sometimes you come out cheaper overall in a monthly payment. Now, conventional loans, depending on your credit score, you may be perceived as less of a risk because you have a higher score and that MI factor is less. So if you're doing 3% down on a conventional loan versus 3.5% on an FHA loan, and you can get lower PMI, you know, it's kind of,
yeah, you have to compare. You got to compare. That's why shopping for your mortgage is so important.
Yes.
Really important. 404-892-2703. Well, we have about 30 minutes left with Mr. Jason Duff, Fidelity Bank Mortgage, but he will be at the seminar. So you can pull him off to the side, talking about your situation, and, you know, he'll get you straight. Real Estate 101, I'm Mary Gill, sitting in for Too Much Truth, and Derek Bozeman, back after the break.
News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
Hi, this is Mayor Mario Aver from the City of Fair, and you are listening to Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Illuminati, all through your body. The blows like a 12-gauge shot. Feel me? And God said he should his one begotten son to lead the wild into the ways of the man. Follow me. Eat my flesh, flesh of my flesh. Come with me. Hail Mary, run quick, see. What do we have here now?
Too much truth.
Revenge is like the sweetest joy next to getting
too much truth.
Paragraphs unloaded, wise words being quoted. Beat the weakness in the rap game and sold it. Bow down, pray to God, hoping that he's listening. See it.
We're back, everyone. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. I'm Mary Gill, in for Derek Bozeman of Too Much Truth. And with me today, Jason Duff, Fidelity Bank Mortgage. See, she knows how to put me in a good mood.
Yeah, I see.
play my son. Play some Tupac.
Perked up.
He's everybody's son. He's our son.
There you go.
All right. So that's the conventional product. Now, I just really want the listening audience to understand not the differences in the product, but the differences in the qualifying factors.
Okay.
And, you know, because sometimes people think, oh, well, I didn't qualify for a conventional. Sometimes the FHA product is better for you than a conventional product.
Mm-hmm.
But conventional, they have a product, and you guys carry this one where you mentioned it. You made reference. That's why I'm asking. 3% down.
Yes.
3%
yes.
down.
Yes, that is the conventional version of a first-time home buyer's product.
Okay.
It's the 3%. Back in the day, it used to be called My Community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that was 2010 or actually 08, 09, 2010. They used to do 100%. Then they scaled it back to 3%, and they called it the My Community Program.
Okay.
But fast forward to 2019, it's just your 3% down conventional loan product.
What's the difference? Now, why would I not qualify for that product for 3% down versus the FHA? What would let me qualify for that and not the conventional?
Well, there is a restriction on it depending on where the property is located. Again, we're always talking about these different layers of risk and qualifying standards. We as lenders have to enter the county in which the borrower or buyer is interested in purchasing in to determine the AMI or the median income for that area.
Okay.
So if you're a first-time home buyer and you make $200,000 a year and you're trying to move out to South Fulton and we put in the street address and it says the AMI based on your household size, because that's another factor, is capped at $74,000 or let's just say $85,000 just as a round number, you wouldn't qualify for the 3%. So that,
but you could qualify for it possibly in a different county.
You could, if the AMI allows for, if there's no cap or if it allows for a higher income.
Huh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, can you use a down payment assistance in conjunction with that loan?
You can. And actually, we'll have this product soon. A handful of lenders in the metropolitan area offer it now. It's a 97% first mortgage with a 3% community second. So, again, we mentioned soft seconds. This second.
That you don't have to pay them back, that just sit there? Is that what it is?
It's
going to
depend on the borrower circumstance. Most
You're killing me, Jason.
There's so many layers and so many guidelines and rules. But it is a down payment assistance program. The credit score requirement, to the best of my knowledge, is 660. Okay. So that's a little different, too. But not beyond reason,
not
right?
Not a lot.
And that 3% obviously can be used for down payment, to help you bridge the gap in terms of getting in the home. It can even go up to 4% where you can use that additional 1% towards closing costs.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Okay.
So we'll have that coming down the pipe here soon.
When do you think?
By the end of this month, by the end of February.
Okay, good,
yeah.
Good,
and
good,
I'll have
good.
Marketing material and I'll have a lot of information to share with folks. I've been anxiously waiting for it. Like I said, some lenders beat us to the punch, but I think we can, put people in better positions, hopefully with better rates than the competition that's offering the same product.
Okay, so you have FHA, you have conventional with even a 3% down, which is great. You have down payment assistance. Mm-hmm. You have the partial construction loans.
Yes, renovation loans.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And now you have VA.
VA, yes, absolutely.
Which is great. I love VA. However, people need to know this when they're using VA, but I love using VA. And the house has to be in pristine condition because the VA appraisers are no joke.
They are home inspectors/appraisers.
Right.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. They always have the veterans' best interest in heart, and they are doing their job, but they do walk through the house with a white knit glove and identify any deficiencies, rotten wood, exposed wiring.
A crack on the countertop. I had this veteran. This is serious. This veteran came in, and I was representing the seller.
Mm.
And this was a two-story traditional Morrison home. They were here back in the day, and they were good builders.
I remember Morrison.
Okay. So this countertop had a crack in it. Do you know that VA appraiser said you're going to need to change that countertop for that VA buyer? I said, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
so
very meticulous.
They went and they had to go out and change the countertop. But, I mean, we changed it and we ended up closing and it was fine. But that's how meticulous they are for the VA buyer, which I love it anyway because it's a great loan. Talk about the loan.
Yeah, VA typically is 100% financing. Even if you've used your entitlement on a previous home, depending on the final disposition of that home, if you sold it or, God forbid, if it went into foreclosure, you may still have entitlement left. Now, it may not be 100%. It may not be enough entitlement to give you 100% financing, but usually you can use that veteran, that eligibility for a second purchase.
In order to determine that, they need to dig out their DD-214.
DD-214
and
certificate of eligibility.
Okay.
And the new loan limit for FHA 2019 has gone up. Actually 484,350. Yeah, we got some four-star generals and some lieutenant colonels.
Oh, you said FHA.
No, I'm sorry. I meant VA.
Oh,
did
you
I say
scared
FHA?
Me to death.
I'm
I
sorry.
Was like, you have got to be kidding. We can buy just under five on FHA. All right.
I stand corrected.
Jason,
VA.
You gave me a heart attack.
Don't die on us.
All right. Tell us what the FHA limit is.
Sure. FHA loan limit for 2019 is $359,950.
Okay.
I know it's a real odd number, but that's their number.
I know. They come up with the craziest things. All right. Cheryl, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. Mary, let me ask you a question. I'm getting ready to buy a house from a relative, and I just found out that an investor have purchased the taxes on that house because they haven't paid. Will I still be able to buy that house?
Okay, this is dicey. This is these are the things that we do that get us messed up. I promise you. So I've seen this at countless times. What you're not going to want to do is buy the house without the help of a professional. You're going to need a contract. You're going to need a title search. The attorney's going to have to contact that investor and see whether or not they can get a payoff. And sometimes that's like pulling teeth just to get a payoff on the taxes. However, it depends on when they bought them, because they may have already transferred title to that investor. So you might
they just bought the property on the end of January the 30th of this year.
They did. All right, did they bought the taxes then, not the property?
Right, the taxes. Uh-huh.
So were they late on last year's taxes or just this past year's tax? How many years ago? How many years back?
They've been late about 4 years, but someone has been trying to catch the taxes up.
All right, this doesn't sound really good. Let me tell
you. It seemed like when I looked at the paperwork, the investor bought taxes from like 17 and part of 17 and 18.
And see, that's the quote. That's my question, is because if you go a few years back and people just bought these taxes, but they bought previous taxes, well, they're in a position. You have a 1 year redemption period. Those previous taxes, those people are in a position to go ahead and take title. Now, whether they've done that or not, I don't know, but I promise you this. I had a seller who we were trying to sell her property, and she didn't even own it anymore because they had already taken it, the people who bought the taxes. So it's really, you got to be really careful.
Because when I called the investor, they're telling me that called them back Monday, and they'll let me know how much the taxes, I know they paid probably just over $1,000 for the back taxes. So they was telling me if I set up a payment plan and pay it off within a year, will I be able to get, like, everything back to normal?
I don't know that answer. And the reason being is because I don't know the condition of the previous year's taxes. I have no idea who this investor is. I don't know if what they're telling you is true. It's like there's just so much here that it's going to take somebody to sit down and make a real plan for you to get into that house safely.
Okay, so my best bet is to, do you handle stuff like that, Mary, or will I have to get like a real estate attorney?
I don't know if an attorney's going to help you do it. I'll look at it for you. I sure will. I'll look at it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'll give you the number. I got to go to a break, but I'll give the number on the air. Call me.
Okay, then.
And then you can come in, all right?
All right, thank you.
Right, sure thing. All right, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman. This is Mary Gill sitting in. Back
it's
in
true.
A minute.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. I'm Mary Gill of Real Estate 101. My show is every Saturday from noon to 3 when they're not playing some type of game. I don't understand. What is that about? We're playing the playoffs. What is Georgia State playoffs. Anyway, I'm not going to be a hater. People love their sports. I'm not mad at that. You know, sometimes when it comes around, it's a little bit of a good break for me because I never get my Saturdays. I've been doing it for almost 10 years, and I'm really committed to my Saturdays. So I get to do other things. I feel a little strange, but I'll be back this Saturday, and we're going to have Gwinnett Technical College in the studio talking about alternatives to the four-year degree.
Okay.
You know, isn't that great?
Yeah.
Everybody's not cut out for a four-year degree.
That's true.
Patricia, how are you doing?
I am good. How are you guys?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm out walking such a nice day, but I'm grateful for you. I'm closing on a home.
Well, I can't hear you because for some...
Can you hear me now?
Am I on speaker? How are you working that?
with a headphone. Can you hear me? Let me unplug it.
Okay.
Let me unplug it.
Okay, okay.
Much better.
Is that any better?
Much. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm closing on a home in June. It's being built and it will be ready in June. But from what I'm hearing, your last conversation, does it matter? Is it based on income that you're able to get down payment assistance? Because if, say, for instance, I make like $105,000 and nobody has mentioned down payment assistance to me. Is there a reason or is there a cap when that applies to you?
That's a great question. I'm sorry.
And also, if I started looking about 4 or 5 months ago, and so I was approved. I know they'll have to pull my credit again, but could they have locked in everything until the house is ready? Because that mortgage rep did not lock it in. He says he will fund the loan, but what if anything changes, you know, in June? Because I was qualified 750 score, everything is good to go. But what if something changes for June? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Good question.
Absolutely.
Have a good day. All right. You do it. You, okay. Jason, what I want you to tell everybody is like the truth, because yes. She sounds like she's locked in with an on-site lender.
Correct.
Okay. Go ahead, because there is a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. The reason builders have preferred lenders is just for ease of communication. They can get any and every answer, and they're entitled to it because they're building a $200,000 or $300,000 house for someone, and they want to know that this person can qualify. So builders like to kind of have everything.
Control,
thank you. Mm-hmm. Over the process, check in with the lender, see what the status of the loan is, and guarantees them or give them the reassurance of, okay, this loan is going to close per my preferred lender. Now, this young lady had her credit pulled at the beginning of the process when she was pre-qualified. Credit reports typically are good for 120 days, so that's 4 months. So she's right. Her credit will have to be pulled again. So that's why we advise folks, don't buy cars, don't buy furniture, don't have your credit pulled, don't take vacations.
But not just with the on-site lender. They're typically pulled again, period.
Yes, that's a general rule of thumb.
Right.
Yes. Now, in terms of down payment assistance, $105,000 is not considered, in the metropolitan area, it's not considered low to moderate income, mm-hmm. I'll just be honest. Typically, if the household size was 3 or 4, you know, most down payment assistants are going to cap out somewhere between $75,000 or less is what I'm used to seeing. So to answer her question, there probably aren't any products or programs available
and
for
certainly
her.
Certainly not that an on-site lender is going to use.
No. If it was something that, you know, if you have your own money, they're going to almost strong arm you to use your own money. Because
I've never in my entire life had an on-site lender use any down payment assistance.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's there. Lenders don't make a lot of money. It's not a revenue center for a lender to offer a Georgia Dream down payment assistance.
This is what
program.
I tell my clients. If there's no incentive, there's no impetus for the lender to use it, they're not going to try to use it. They just don't want to be bothered with it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's general consensus. You know, if it's required, then they'll do what they have to do. But if you have a 401k, or if you're $2,000 away from your 3% or your 5% or 10% down payment, they're going to encourage you to save up that money.
Go to auntie, grandma, mom, dad, sister, somebody, and get that.
Exactly.
Borrow that money, not borrow it, but get it as a gift.
Yeah, they're going to try to make that loan work based on your resources and not some outside third
party. So she asked about locking in. I think mm-hmm. you need to talk about that, because people are of the opinion that it's when they make loan application and the interest rates are low that they can lock in. But she referred to June, and that's when June interest rates could change in June.
That's true. They could change tomorrow. That's mm-hmm. true. So interest rate lock-ins versus interest rate quotes. When a borrower is pre-qualified, they are quoted a rate. Now, once a borrower receives an LE, a loan estimate, in the upper right-hand corner of that form, it says your rate is locked. But there's two boxes. Your rate is locked. Your rate is not locked. So you can always refer to that. But in most cases, on-site lenders, whether it's, you know, a 90-day build or a six-month build, unless you are interested and you demand to be locked in, they're not going to quote you extended rate lock options, because the longer you reserve money on a rate lock,
the higher the interest rate is going to be. So the closer in you are to closing is better to lock in. But this is what you do need to know. They're not going to tell you when the interest rates are low for you to lock in. So you just have to navigate your way close to closing date. And within a 30 to 60 days, you're going to have to lock in yourself. And what I find but boggles my mind is they're like, well, I don't know if I'm locked or not, or I don't know if they locked me or not. The lender cannot lock you without you saying, lock me in. You're supposed to tell them to lock you in.
That's correct. That's correct. You know, and again, if you're adverse to risk, then my suggestion is get the pricing on the rates that would allow you to lock now and take you through your closing date, which was June. So, and those rate options do exist. They may not be the most attractive. They may not even have float down options. That's something that we at Fidelity offer, the option to float down during an extended rate lock period.
That means if a lower rate becomes available after you've locked, then sometimes you can float down to that rate at least one time.
One time. For us, it's actually within 30 days of closing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Not bad. All right, Jason. So we have a seminar coming up next weekend, next Saturday. Griffin Middle School, Smyrna, right off King Spring Road. You could take the bus, get off of King Spring, walk 900 feet if you need to. Please bring your young people, 10 to 18. We will definitely have certain things geared towards them, and we encourage you to bring them because we want the younger generation to learn at least some fundamentals about financing, about credit, about buying a home. We want these young people to learn this so
that
they can never look at us and say, you didn't tell me. Well, you didn't tell me. I tell you, you don't want to hear that when they're 30, right?
That's true.
Okay. All right. Amen. So we're going to be there, and we want you to go to eventbrite.com and register. Go to WAOK. You can register there, Real Estate 101 with Mary Gill, and click on the Eventbrite and register there. We just really want to know our numbers because we will be providing things for our listening audience. But we're excited. We're looking forward to it. It's been 2 years in the making, but we finally did it, and we're here. I don't know if it's going to happen again, so I'm telling you now that you probably need to go ahead and take advantage of that. All right, give everybody your contact information, Jason, please.
Sure. I'm Jason Duff, Fidelity Bank Mortgage. Email address is jayson.duff, D-U-F as in Frank, F as in Frank, at lionbank.com. That's lionbank.com. Cell phone number 678-360-1969.
So you can tune in tomorrow where I will be filling again for Too Much Truth, Derek Bozeman. We will not have Jason in the studio, but I'll be here. So if, in fact, you didn't get your calls in or your phone, your questions answered, you can call again tomorrow and I'll be in the studio. Or you can call me on my cell, 770-480-8222, and I'm available to talk to you as well. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. This is Mary Gill. Thank you, Jason, for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you, everyone, for your calls. It's been great.
Sitting in for Derek Bozeman, Too Much Truth. Thank you.
Breaking news, sports, weather, and traffic. We're live from the WAOK newsroom on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.